Awesome. Thank you, Mike. Welcome everyone to the VC HTTP API call. This is June 29th, 2021. Today on the call, we're going to do some agenda review, which we're doing now, introductions, use cases. And then most of the call is going to be a presentation on authorization and RAR by Justin Richer. And then some issue processing, and any other business if we have some time left. Before we start, we need a scribe. We just need a scribe before we can start. Are there any volunteers?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you, Charles. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's see. With that, let's go ahead and start. Is there anyone new to the call that has not introduced themselves before?
Hi, it's Andrew Hughes. How's my audio?
Hey, Andrew. Great. Go ahead.
Most of you know me already. I'm returning from distant shores of the internet. So I'm starting to pay more attention to the, W3C work again. Glad to hear today's topic.
Awesome. Welcome back, Andrew. Good to hear your voice. Anyone else that's new to the group or, you'd like to reintroduce yourself to the group after a long hiatus? Or job change or anything. Go ahead, Kalia.
Hi, I haven't come to this call before, so I'll say hi. My handle's Identity Woman, and I currently have a formal job role with Linux Foundation Public Health, working on the COVID-19 credentials initiative, along with co-chairing the Trust Over IP group focused on Good Health Pass. So I'm curious about where the work is and decided to stop by today.
Great. Welcome, Kalia. Any other introductions or reintroductions?
I guess I should. David Chadwick. I've had a couple of changes of jobs in the last few months, and the company that I created from the University of Kent, Verifiable Credentials Limited, got bought out last month by Crossword Cybersecurity, so I'm now working for them.
Awesome. Welcome, David. Anyone else? Intros, reintros? All right. Great. Welcome, everyone. Let's pause for a quick second and get an update on use cases from either Eric or Juan. As many of you know, we are currently refining the use cases that were submitted over the past 2 or 3 months, trying to get a use cases document together for the VC HTTP API. Any updates there, Eric or Juan?
Yeah, sure. So first off, I'll link the document for any interested. We are about halfway through what we had scheduled as our kind of initial triage phase, so in 2 weeks, we will hopefully have kind of our first set and maybe first pass at a set of use cases. If anyone wants to add anything new, still, I think, feel free to. There's no issues with that. Just I would ask if you do add something substantial, go ahead and ping either myself or Juan. I'll post my email in the chat on the Google Doc in a comment just so that we are made aware that we have something new to look at. Juan, anything from you?
No, I think the two use cases that probably won't make it in the doc without help from others. Adrian proposed one that I thought was really interesting because it had a kind of data union, collective ownership, separation of concerns use case. I thought that would be really interesting because it's different from all the others in terms of, service provider relationships and fiduciary stuff. Would love help with that, whether from Adrian or from others. and yeah, I'm trying to fool around with a car identity one just for fun. If that sounds like something you have strong opinions about, get in that document and leave some marginal comments, please.
Awesome. Thank you, Juan. Thank you, Eric. Just as a reminder to everyone, this is the first pass. It doesn't mean that if we can't get a use case in now that it'll never be able to get into the document. We're just trying to do a quick iteration, get something out there for people to look at, and then iterate on that over the next couple years. Okay, that's it for use cases. Anything, any other questions, concerns about how the use cases are going before we move on to the main event here? All right. it always takes years, Ori, unfortunately. We all want it done tomorrow, but, you know, we've got to all agree, for the most part. Okay, next up is the authorization and raw presentation topic. As many of you know, we've been having a long discussion about authorization in this group. Last week, Justin had kindly offered to take us through RAR and some of the other kind of technologies in the space, whatever he felt was, you know, a good thing to cover, this week, is that presentation. What we're hoping to get out of the presentation is just education, you know, for the group so that they can understand what the options are, in order for us to make some concrete decisions about how we're going to approach authorization for the VCHTTP API. Over at least the next couple of months, if not longer. With that, Justin, over to you.
All right. Thanks very much. I'm going to start off by dropping a couple of things in chat because once I start presenting, I won't be able to see the chats. So my request to the chairs and facilitators here, if somebody needs to interrupt me, please do. Also, my apologies to the scribe because I talk quickly, and I'm sorry this is the speed that I run. So with that in mind, let's get started. Hi, everybody. My name is Justin Richer. I think I know most of this crowd. I am an independent consultant based out of Boston. I have a number of different clients, but I don't speak on behalf of any of my clients because none of them would bother to hire me to just spread what they want everybody to hear, because that's not what I do. But today I am here to talk about a couple of efforts that I'm directly involved in that I think have a lot of really good overlap within the VCHTTPI space, and that's the rich authorization request, which is RAR, and the grant negotiation and authorization protocol, which is GNAP. Specifications. I am a co-editor on each of those. I'm also co-editor on a whole bunch of other things over the last number of years. I'm very active in the standard space on a bunch of different stuff. But first, since I have the floor, I just want to say, I brought this up on the call before, a note about branding. The name of this working group is an absolute mouthful. So, I mean, at least, guys, can we come up with a nice logo or something like that to go with this, work? I think that that would be helpful. Just something to keep in mind.
That's awesome.
I mean, you know, I'm sure it's a V and an H. It doesn't mean anything. I'm sure nobody's thought of this before. So anyway, first off, GNAP is the Grant Negotiation and Authorization Protocol. Basically, think about everything that you love about OAuth 2 and throw out most of the things that most people hate about OAuth 2 and build it on today's technologies. And that's the idea behind GNAP. This is an active working group in the IETF. It is an RFC standards track document. RAR is the stands for Rich Authorization Requests, which is a backport of GNAP's Access Token Rights Request data structure language to OAuth 2. What this means, as you'll see in a bit as we go through the technical examples, you can think of this as like scope in OAuth 2, but with an array of objects, kind of a multidimensional fancy way of requesting things. This is also part of an active working group in IETF, specifically the OAuth working group, and this draft is in fact in last call right now. There's an interesting sort of synergy here, because GNAP and OAuth 2 are not compatible with each other. They're not intended to be compatible with each other. But because GNAP and RAR use the same data structures to describe access to APIs and the things that you're getting, that means that you can use the same descriptions, the same technical descriptions for both OAuth 2 and GNAP if you're using RAR. I also want to point out here, because I know this is a concern in the group, not using either of these, either GNAP or OAuth 2, doesn't say anything about requirements for a token format, so what goes in the token, how it's formatted, or specific grant types, or specific kinds of clients, or yada. The separation of concerns is very, very, very important to me in the design of systems, and I want to make that very, very clear today. Also, that we're only speaking about, you know, a very particular slice, and we'll get more into the details of that slice in a moment. I also, since it's been asked, where's RAR used today? It's been in production, for a while now in a number of different places. This is just a small slice that I was able to get, you know, kind of at the last minute from, one of my co-editors on the RAR specification. And the most interesting thing about RAR is the momentum that it's gaining in the space, because there have been a lot of efforts out there. I've been a part of a number of them that have gone and tried to define sort of structures to OAuth scopes. So adding colons and dots and query parameters and all sorts of crazy stuff to an OAuth scope string. RAR gives you a way to do that without all of the weird second order parsing and sort of semantic layering that those individual systems do. So there's a lot of groups that are looking to shift to use RAR to describe access to their APIs. So why are we here today? The fundamental question that this group is wrestling with at the moment, and what kind of brought me into the conversation here, is where and how to use the VC-HTTP API with authorization and delegation protocols. There are a number of them out there. And I think that to understand that, we really need to start looking at the overall picture of what an authorization and delegation protocol looks like. And don't worry, I'm not going to go into detail on all of this. This is not the time and the call for it. But what I think is particularly pertinent, and I brought this up on previous calls, is that there are really three places where I see there are very, very clear overlaps between these two efforts. What I personally find the most interesting is the ability to present things to an authorization server about the current user without having to send them through a web page like traditional OAuth 2 does. That's something that I think that GNAP is going to be really interested. Deployments of GNAP are going to be really interested in using technologies like VC-HTTP API. There's also this whole ongoing question of, you know, if I'm presented with a VC, how do I figure out kind of what it's for? If I'm using it as my token or inside my token, how do I validate that kind of thing? But what I want to talk about today and what I think is most important for this group to solve in my proposal only relates to the green box. And that's saying what is being requested in using the technologies in RAR and GNAP to describe what is being requested. Because each of these puts the VC-HTTP in a different place. And this is why I think fundamentally the conversation is getting so confused and convoluted within this group, because people are talking about applications of the VC-HTTP API and delegation protocols, and they're talking about using it in different ways and in different things. And these are all separate layers. They are all separate sections of an overall ecosystem. Now, yes, if you want to solve problems for the ecosystem, you're going to have answers for all of this. But that doesn't mean that it's the same answer everywhere, nor does it mean that you have to have that answer at the same time for everything. So what today we're going to be talking about is that green box, which is what is being requested. When you are talking to the VC-HTTP API, how do you describe the thing that you want to do at that API? And to understand a bit about that, we need to go back into the history of API access. With OAuth 1, it was pretty much on and off. You either got access, you got a token, or you didn't. There was no way for you to say, either at run or configure time, usually, what kinds of things you wanted to be able to do. Now, with OAuth 2, we made it a little bit better and gave you a list of on-off flags. We call those scopes. So either you had the scope or you didn't have the scope. And then, like I said, people invented all of these different structures and things for these scope values. And so that's why a bunch of us over the last few years have started to sort of collect and codify this notion of having a rich multi-dimensional object and then really a set of those. And that became the core of the GNAP protocol, which, as I mentioned, has been sort of that one piece has been pulled out and backported into OAuth2 as RAR, rich authorization requests. Now, why would we do that? Well, because it turns out the things that people are using scopes for go in all sorts of different directions already. So the like where you put the API, the kinds of data that you're protecting, the kinds of things that you want to do, you know, is this read access? Can I only get image data or metadata? Can I make a payment? Can I only read my, you know, my medical history? Like all of those right now get described as scopes, but the combinatorics of those different sets of scopes absolutely explodes. And it's impossible to kind of tease those things out when you've got a single flat list. So what RAR does is it gives you a structure to describe these things. So it's a JSON array, and this is what it looks like in RAR itself, in OAuth2. You got a JSON array that's full of objects. Each of those objects has a couple of different fields. So type, actions, locations, data types, and so forth. And when you look at that same concept, the equivalent concept in GNAP, it's the same object. Let me go back and forth here. Like, this is not a mistake. This is not an accident. By design, they are the same. So that's why I have kept saying to this group, this is a really good way to solve it in both cases with a relatively small lift. And I'll get to that lift at the end of the presentation because I really don't think it's that big. Each part of this request means something a little bit different. So the first and foremost here is the type. That describes the kind of API that you're calling. And the idea here is that you're going to have an authorization server that's protecting a bunch of different APIs, and they're all going to have their different semantics. So even the VC-HTTP API, I think we'll all admit, is not a single API. It's a collection of related APIs for doing different kinds of things. And so that's where the type field comes in. And then we have standardized fields for the kind of thing that you're doing, where you're doing it, what you're doing it to. But importantly, since this is a JSON object, you are allowed to extend that with whatever you want. And I truly mean that there is no registry saying what goes in there. There is no like runtime processing of semantics documents or anything that that says that type field is effectively a namespacing key that says if you understand that string, then you as a developer can go figure out what the rest of this object looks like and what it means, because all of this ultimately needs to lead back to sort of human layer semantic understanding of data APIs and systems. So this RAR type is the key, literally the key that determines what is allowed to go inside the rest of the object. And I want to restate, because I know that this is a very JSON LD heavy crowd, this is not at schema. This is not at context. This is not anything that you're expected to dereference or fetch or anything like that. So even though the examples I'm going to give in a minute are all URL-based, that is for namespacing purposes only. You're not expected to be able to go do this. Either you see the string and you recognize it, or you don't, and that's it.
Hey, Justin Q.
Yes.
So I added myself to the queue for the previous slide. Is the expectation here that, you know, if we end up using RAR here, then this group would end up defining what these
access— Would you like to hear the rest of my my presentation?
Sure.
Because that's my next slide. Thank you for the segue. So my proposal is that this working group define a set of these types. And in defining those types, define how to access the HTTP API. These types would be usable with OAuth2 and GNAP. I'm sorry to cut you off, Manu, but does this answer your question? Because that's literally what the rest of the presentation is about.
Sure. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. This really is the total of what I am proposing that this group do. All right. And I'll get into what that means. I'm not saying that this should say that you have to use OAuth2 or you have to use GNAP, or even that if you're using those two, you necessarily have to use these. Because if you want to deploy this API behind OAuth2 and use your own weird proprietary scope value, go ahead. You're just not going to be following the interoperable protocol here, right? So the other question is, why define these now in this working group? because it makes a lot of sense to define the API and the security access model side by side. As they grow up together, they can, they influence each other. It makes you define what you're accessing and how you're accessing it. And honestly, this is the kind of stuff that's going to happen anyway. So I say it's better to grow them together. Grow your security layer now as you're growing the functionality of the API, then to come down the road later and say, we would really love to have a set of interoperable ways to describe the kinds of things that we do. What is it that we do? Can we agree on that again and go back to that? It's really the kinds of questions that this group is going to be need to be answering now anyway in defining the API to define the security layer. So now I'm going to get into a set of straw man proposals of a very, very light take on what this could actually look like. Now, in the following slides, if anybody gets on the queue to talk about the specific details of, a particular value or field name or something like that, you are absolutely missing the point, and we will move on from that, hopefully, please. What instead that I want people to see from this is how you could apply the RAR data structures to an API like this.
We've got a queue before you start, Justin.
Yes,
Mike, right.
Yeah, just something you said there. I just had a question because the way you phrased it as like you all or something like that, as far as this community, defining and implementing this stuff. I just wanted some clarification. Are you proposing to kind of lead the charge and do most of the work as far as defining this stuff, or what's your vision here?
No, I'm not. So what I'm trying to do is connect the dots for this community. I can definitely contribute to this. But no, I am not saying that this is something that I am going to, come in and insist that this group do or insist on a particular solution for this. Nor is that the purpose of this presentation.
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else on the queue? Like,
nope.
I said, I cannot see the chat.
No one else on the queue.
Awesome. Thank you, Manu. Okay. So, like I said, straw man proposals, don't get tied up in the details. Try to look at sort of the concept of the application here. Now, when I was looking at the different parts and talking to a couple of different people about the different parts of the VCHTTP API ecosystem here, it really came across there were kind of five main access types out there. And I called them issue, verify, construct, fetch, and present. These are probably the wrong names for most of them. Again, don't get tied up into bike shedding these particular labels. To issue a credential, you're either asking, you want to be able to differentiate between, I'm asking somebody to create something, for me, or just take something that I have and sign it for me. That's part of sort of this issuance, piece. And, the thing about this that I want you guys to see is that, there are already multiple dimensions for a request like this. So there's the type that says I'm talking about the VCHTTP API's issue API. And then there are multiple actions. And so if I have a piece of software that's only going to be asking for the signature type of action, then I can limit access to that. Or if something asks for both, then I can only limit it at one. It also allows me to say I'm going to give you access, but only at this particular server location. And there are likely other dimensions to all of these things that I'm bringing up, including some that would be specific to the VCHTTP API that I haven't gone into detail here. But this is the type of stuff that that this group ought to be defining, right? So then there's the verification API. We're looking to verify something in terms of verify the presentation, but also validate its content. And those might have different rights associated with them. The point here is that you need to, it's important to look at the API that you're defining and define the different, sort of slice up the different levels of access that you would expect somebody to be able to ask for in different ways. Fetching something, you're probably going to want to be able to say, you can fetch this specific thing or anything that uses this particular identifier or these particular kinds of things. You know, you can only get my keys or you can only get credentials or something like that. And then this construction thing, I think, is really interesting because when you're asking to do this construction step, you might ask somebody to construct a presentation that only has particular disclosures in it. Now, disclosures is not one of the fields that's defined in RAR or GNAP. This is something that would be defined by this group. And again, there's no need for a schema. There's no need for a registry or anything like that. It is designed to be automatically scoped to the API that's being protected. So this group has a lot of flexibility with how to describe how to ask for things. And then finally, the presentation, like what are the things that I'm allowed to present, you know, for specific user or, you know, entity. You know, am I allowed to present a full credential or only present, you know, signed presentations and proofs of that, things like that. Now, like I said, I'm probably not using very precise. Well, I know that I'm not using very precise terminology in all of these things because these were all straw men that I put together in the last week after having, read the docs that are available and talked to a bunch of people to try to get up to speed on this work. I'm not expecting the details of this to be absolutely accurate. But what I want people to see is that when looking at all of the different kinds of APIs that the VC HTTP API work is working on, you should be able to look at that and say, like, these are the different kinds of things that I want people to be able to do and the different ways in which I want people to be able to differentiate. Okay? So my personal recommended next steps to this group would be to adopt this work. And by that, I mean define types for each of the different kinds of APIs, define a type value and say, what are the dimensions that are needed and what do they mean? You know, are there specific fields that make sense only in this API? And then add normative type definitions to the document. And by that, I mean, say something to the effect of the API defined in this specification. So say this is the issue specification, must be protected by an authorization or authentication technology applicable to HTTP-based API. In other words, don't leave it wide open if that is indeed a requirement for that kind of API. And while the exact nature of this protection is out of scope for the specification, for interoperable deployments, it is recommended that an authorization and delegation protocol such as OAuth2 or GNAP be used with the following security semantics for each request. And then you list a request type and then actions and describe what each of the actions are, describe what the locations are, list out the fields and what they mean. Which means that two people picking up this specification that don't have any other choice that they would otherwise be making would say, like, oh, OAuth, I understand that. I can use this to protect my thing with OAuth so that I don't have to think about making this specification. And if somebody else is deploying this and says, well, no, I'm going to use MTLS and I'm going to base everything off of the CN from the client cert, go ahead. That's still protected by an authentication technology. And that's perfectly legitimate use of this. And so this, I think, is the key limiting factor that I think was getting lost in a lot of the conversation that we were having heretofore. Because I am not saying that you must use GNAP or anything like that, nor am I saying that, we should be solving the whole rest of the authorization problem. So the email that was posted to the list earlier this week had questions like, how do you get tokens? What's the life cycle? What's included in the token? Yeah, don't answer any of that. Put all of that firmly out of scope. And that should not be a concern of the API that's being protected. What should be a concern is an API should be able to describe how to ask for access to it using standards technologies. And that's what I am proposing that this working group do. I believe that this is a very light lift to the group, especially as this group is defining what this API does and the different ways it can be sliced anyway, with a lot of benefit for people coming down the road that would like an interoperable security layer on top of this API. And that is my whole presentation. And I will keep the screen share up for a moment in case we need to refer back during discussion.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Justin, we've got a queue. Ori, you're up.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. This is super helpful. I agree with everything you said, particularly around making it clear what is out of scope regarding this. So, yeah, huge plus one to your presentation, everything you said. I think one of the you had a diagram earlier that showed, you know, basically people putting the VCE HTTP API, you know, in all of these different places. And yeah, it's worse than this because it's like we haven't even really defined what this VCE HTTP API is. So my question, you know, for these folks that have successfully implemented RAR, did they, and I can see this kind of playing out in a couple different ways, but I wonder whether you have an opinion on the best way that it should play out. Should you basically define a RESTful API and then define the permissions RAR data structure scopes for it? Or should you define those scopes and then define the API? And if those scopes refer to the API, can't you not define the scopes until you've defined the API? So I can see us building them both at the same time. Or I could see us building the API first and then doing the scopes later. Which of those do you think in practice yields the best sort of outcome?
Defining them together. Because when defining them together, you can refine both sides as you grow up. So like I said, people, or like you just said, this group is still really getting the edges defined around what is the VC HTTP API. And in doing that definition, that is the best time to be asking the question, okay, so if this is part of the API, is this a different kind of action that I want somebody to be able to ask for or grant access to? Or is this subsumed by something else that we may have already talked about? It allows you to take this iterative approach in defining these bits and pieces. The other reason for bringing them together is that if you don't, then people will need to solve that problem anyway, because as we all know, we've got to deploy something when we're building all this stuff, right? So people are just going to kind of build something that they made up. And then you're going to have a bunch of incompatible things with slightly different ideas about where the lines are drawn between different allowable actions. So somebody might say that, you know, issue and sign are the same thing. They're always the same thing. I'm always going to give rights to both. And that might be a very important differentiation to somebody else. But that conversation never happened until after people had already kind of put down stakes in their respective camps. So yes, you could do it later. And like I said, if you don't do it now, it will happen later. I mean, this, you know, people are going to try and, shuffle this kind of thing out using some level of technology, whether or not this group does it. And it's not going to be as good if this group that is designing the API doesn't also design the security layer.
Great. Thanks, Justin. I'm on the queue next. With respect to the current slide that you have up, Justin, mm-hmm. This is more a question to the group. I think this is a really good way to frame what's in scope and out of scope. The green box is in scope for this group. And right now, the yellow box and the purple box are out of scope. I would like to see if, as a group today, we can pass those resolutions. So this is mostly a question to the rest of the group. If we pass a resolution today that says the yellow box is out of scope and the purple box is out of scope, would anybody object to that? So we'll
wanted to know, it may seem pedantic, but we need to define those boxes other than by their colors.
Sure, we will.
That would be my objection.
Sure, okay. Yeah, we will. It's basically interactions between the client and the authorization server. in the resource server and the authorization server, both of those things are out of scope. And then, you know, I don't know how we define, and I think those are the only two things we're talking about putting out of scope and the only things we need to name.
Manu, if I may, try to categorize that, because this is something I've been trying to, convince this group of for a bit now. The orange box represents, VCs presented to an authorization server. The, purple box represents VCs presented to an RS that the RS resource server that the RS needs to make sense of. The green box represents accessing the VC HTTP API by something.
Okay.
And so what I'm trying to say is accessing the protection of access to the VC HTTP API itself ought to be in scope for this group to handle in an interoperable fashion.
Got it. If you could figure out how to put that into concrete text that we can put in a proposal, Justin, that would be super helpful. I would struggle writing that language.
Did the scribe write down what I just said? Because I thought that's what I was doing.
I will look. Do we have anyone on the queue? Well, I'll try to look at that. Ted, you're up, and then...
Try again, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get a link to the deck, partly because I came in late.
The deck is not hosted online, sorry.
Is there any way that it could be?
Possibly.
I would find that helpful.
You can rewatch the video.
Oh, yeah, recording is a good thing.
Yeah, the reason for my hesitance is actually because I did not write this presentation as a Leave Behind artifact. And so without the vocal track, there's a lot that's missing. But do continue.
Please. Watching the video will cover it for that. I'm not going to be able to say yes or no on your suggested resolution based on this slide. And I don't think anybody else really should. There's a lot of hand wave here.
Okay, so I think that would be an objection to even raising the proposal.
At this point, yes. I mean, it would need to be better defined.
Okay.
So we have time to do that. So, you know, Justin, one thing that we could do is put this back to the mailing list. I just checked Charles is doing a phenomenal job scribing everyone, but I don't think it's accurate enough for a proposal. So how about this? As an action, let's, you know.
Just stop sharing my screen and type it now. I mean,
sure.
That's an option. I was just keeping this up for the discussion. And, all right, there's a million pop-ups in Jitsi and I can't get to the box. Here we go.
I hate that.
So to follow up Ori's thing, I'm actually saying that the green box should not only just be the topic of a call, but should be topic of work for the working group and the topic of as many calls as it needs to take. That's what I'm saying is do the green box.
Yeah, we just need the group. We just need to get proposals down and resolutions down where the group's agreeing to do that. I believe that's the right direction. I think a lot of people do. I'm mostly trying to make sure that we've got everyone on board so that people don't keep talking about the yellow / orange and purple box. And so we can really focus on the green box. So it's basically to, you know, once and for all, just put that whole debate to rest and move on. So yeah, Justin, up to you if you want to try and type something out that we can, you know, put in there. As Ted has said, he would probably object to bringing it up on the call, but that doesn't mean we can't discuss it on the mailing list and come back next call and, take up those proposals. So there's one in there. So why don't we, Justin, is that the, Let's see. Do you have two other proposals coming, or is that just
I can only type so fast.
Sure.
Thank you, though. So I, if you want to talk about that one while I'm trying to type up the other one, that's fine. If people have versions or edits to that to make it more specific, but that's the idea.
Okay. I'm sorry. I should be processing the queue. Mike, you're up next.
If I can get off mute here. So, Justin, just a clarifying point. I know you called out that there were a lot of banks, et cetera, utilizing RAR. So I'm just thinking about practical life and dealing with my customers. Mm-hmm. You know, of the major providers for OAuth 2, so I'm thinking like Okta, Auth0, you know, Ping, Cisco, et cetera. Who among them are supporting RAR out of the box in some kind of simple fashion so that I can at least point, you know, a CIO or something at it and say, yeah, you know, here you go.
I don't have that answer. I am not a salesman or an integrator. Sorry.
Okay. Ori, you're up next.
Yeah, so Justin, looking just at this green box here, your initial proposal says RAR / GNAP in it. And I think, as I understand this green box, it's about using RAR to get an access token that is, you know, and pardon the use of the word scope, but like scoped correctly.
Correct.
And then passing that token as an authorization header to a resource server. So it's really just those two things and...
No, not even that much. It's about describing how to ask for the correctly scoped access token and what would need to be considered for dereferencing what's in that access token.
Cool. So the bottom arrow, use token, that's just putting the token in the HTTP header, right?
Oh, it depends on which protocol. If you're talking about OAuth 2 and GNAP, then yes.
Okay. But like, if you're
doing something over CoAP or DIDCOM or whatever, you know, use whatever else. I'm not saying specify that. I'm 100% not saying specify that.
Sure. But this is the VC HTTP API. One place where you would put tokens is in the header.
And if the VC HTTP API were to say, use access tokens, then yes, it should say to use RFC 6750 for bearer tokens and, you know, GNAP for keybound, GNAP access tokens and so forth. There's a bunch of ways. There are a bunch of ways to present, access tokens and their equivalents.
Right. And I think that, that area is probably less controversial than anything else. And so I think if we're focusing in on the green box and trying to break it down either, you know, on the call for folks and then, you know, eventually on the mailing list, it's, in my opinion, most of the, you know, fear, anxiety or doubt comes around that top arrow around how to request the token with the right structure, right? And then what the format of that token is that you get back. It's just mostly that top arrow. That's where all of the pain and confusion really is. This bottom arrow is typically a kind of a standard thing if you're using a standard API. If you're doing HTTP standards, it's an authorization header. If you're doing DIDCOM, it's DIDCOM stuff. You know, how you use that token tends to be covered by convention very well. And how you get that token is covered by RAR, entirely RAR, correct? Not any GNAP stuff in that top arrow? Or, I mean, they're the same, right? Like,
That is incorrect. So how you get the token is the mechanism of getting the token and the mechanism of using the token are defined by OAuth 2 and by GNAP. The mechanism of describing what you want that token to be able to do is the one small piece that I am suggesting this group work on. Sorry, Manu, if I can just continue that thought. So this notion of, I've seen this question come up a couple of times. Like, so then what's the format of the token? What's in the token? I don't care. Neither should this spec. Shouldn't say anything about it. It should be deliberately opaque to this specification. Now, it's obviously not going to be opaque to a given deployment, but it should be opaque to this specification. So I don't care what goes in the token, nor should this API. The only thing that's important is that I have a piece of software that knows how to call this HTTP API. This software knows the kind of thing that it wants to do, and it wants to be able to ask for permission to do that. How do you encode the rights associated with that set of actions, that thing that it wants to do, in a request? That is what RAR solves. RAR does not tell you how to use an access token. It doesn't even tell you how to get an access token. But it says, if you're asking to get an access token, here's a way to describe what that access token ought to be good for. Does that clear things up? Because it is a very, very narrow thing that I am proposing for this work.
All right. Just the queue, we've got Juan. Go ahead, Juan.
So I was just wondering, in the examples, you mentioned disclosures as a example of a API-specific object. So you said it isn't a registry, but I wasn't super clear. Are you proposing that per API, this spec would include optional or mandatory definitions of what disclosures or other types of information specific to each API that would need to be or optionally could be in the token? Is that just something this group could just say, put, you know, if it's this kind of use case, use this kind of disclosure, you know, is there like a table that this group would write that are the optional?
It could.
The types of disclosure?
It could. That's what I'm trying to say, is that it could. When I have done API-specific profiling work in the past for things like, you know, the Hart Working Group, we had giant multidimensional tables of OAuth2 scopes that said these are the health sensitivities and the different resource types and all of this other stuff that we actually had to spell out. And we had to spell all of that out because we were writing to a specific API. This group has the opportunity to start by writing from a specific API instead of having to try to patch that in later. And it is much, much more preferable that way.
All right. We've got Mike Prorock on the queue. Go ahead, Mike.
I thought I may have pulled myself, so that
go ahead, Juan,
it was accidental.
Oh, sorry. I find this all really interesting. I'm just wondering, is there Arrow's gonna probably cue themselves to yell at me for even suggesting this, but is there some sort of fallback or equivalent for how a table written for RAR could be encoded in, say, scope strings or some other horrible thing people don't like?
Oh, yeah, totally. There's a lot of horrible ways you could do that, and they're all bad ideas. And I know that they're bad ideas because I have implemented and deployed pretty much all of them at this point. I have seen people do fully articulated URI query parameter strings with name value pairs and everything like that as scope strings. I have seen people do hierarchical scope strings. I have seen people encode JSON objects as scope strings. Okay. So the question is not about whether you pass this as a set of strings versus as a set of objects. The question is about whether you need the expressivity of the objects in the first place. And RAR is an attempt to do that in kind of the same way for lots of different APIs. So every single object in RAR could be represented by an equivalent scope, but that's where the combinatorics really blows up. Because say you have an API that's got different location, you want to be able to ask for read access in one location and write access in another location. OAuth makes it really, really, really hard to do to describe that together. Because do you ask for read-write in two locations? Like, how do you tie those two together? So RAR gives you the framing structure to be able to say, I want read here and write there, and separate those. So every single piece of those is a scope. Yes, RAR is fancy scope strings. Thank you. That is the correct takeaway.
All right, going back to the queue. Let's see. We've got myself, Ori, and Ted. My question's to Adrian. Adrian, what variation of this removes your objection? So if we were to adopt something, like if we were to adopt OAuth 2 plus RAR, would you feel comfortable about us addressing the delegation and attenuated delegation use cases, or would your objection still stand?
No, it has nothing to do really with my objection. So I think this is a fabulous idea, and it benefits from the huge experience that Justin has with the HART work group, which I was also, a co-conspirator of. So I know where the bodies are buried, maybe from a different perspective than Justin. This does not address those issues.
Right. So it's a great idea. May I respond to that, please?
Very rapidly, because we have Ori and Ted on the queue, and we want to clear the queue. Go ahead.
So, Adrian, this is why I was trying to make it a very, very clear with those different boxes. I firmly believe that a lot of what that you have brought up, in terms of things to address, are stuff that is firmly within the purple box. So I get this VC kind of thing, and I want to use the API to figure out like what it's good for. Or the orange box, alternatively, I've got a person with a bunch of these things. I want them to be able to use those to go and get stuff and take actions. And separating those concerns, I think, is the first step to being able to address them. Whether or not that gets addressed in this working group or not, I think, is a separate question. But I do think it is very important to call those out and put the appropriate boundaries around them so that people aren't talking across each other and trying to figure out what it is that they're really trying to solve. Because if, in case this wasn't clear, I think that all of those boxes are very, very important in the overall ecosystem. And I personally think the orange box is far and away more interesting than anything else on that entire slide. But that doesn't mean that I think that this is the right forum for solving that specific issue. And so that means we got to find the right forum for that, to have that conversation and to apply that in a way that makes sense.
All right. Thanks, Justin. Real quick in the queue, we've got 2 minutes remaining. Ori and then Ted.
It's going to take longer than 2 minutes. I'll let Ted go.
Mine is going to be more than 2 minutes too. RAR is fancy scope strings, and are those just strings, or can they be URIs? I'm looking at this and it seems.
Ted. They are JSON objects. JSON objects. Okay. Ori was being glib. I was responding to his glibness. It is an array of JSON objects with different fields. Like I tried to show several times in the demo and in the linked documents.
And everything that I saw in the slides that I've seen, which is part of why I want to see the whole deck, had just keywords. It did not have what appeared to me stuff that's going to expand into URIs. Maybe I'm not seeing it right.
I don't know what you mean by expand into URIs, because it doesn't, and I didn't say it would.
And that's my concern. This appears to be basically a human-structured thing that is not machine-addressable.
Correct. It is not machine addressable. That is a design goal for it to not have to be. That is absolutely intentional.
All right. With that, we are almost out of time. 30 seconds left. Justin, I wanted to thank you again for taking the time to put together this presentation and showing it to the group. I know that was a lot of effort, so much appreciated. Thank you, Charles, for doing an absolutely heroic job scribing everyone. I know this was a fast and furious discussion. Let's go ahead and take this to the mailing list. You know, I think there are a couple of concrete proposals. This was good. There are a couple of concrete proposals that we can put on the mailing list, and at least, a cover. Hopefully folks feel like they got a very good idea of what, using RAR, with the VC API would look like. I think Justin did a great job, of putting that, the straw man together. Justin, so we'll make the video available. Well, let's just make the video available. I was going to ask you to make the slide deck available. Let's just make the video available. People can look through it again. Let's go ahead and start putting some concrete proposals on the mailing list for people to consider. People drop some concrete proposals in here. We will run some of them during the next call. All right. With that, thanks a ton to everyone. Much appreciated. Have a great rest of the week.
Deck availability would really be good for people to be able to comment on particular slides. Whether or not it's meant to be understood is a different question.
Well, I can answer that question as no. But all right, I'll see what I can do.
All right. And hey, Mike, would you mind stopping the recording?
I'm doing that right now.
Thank you, sir. All right. Thanks, all.